You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Great appearance by Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership last hour. He brought it up. I didn't ask. I said, as we were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, you take the field or Kansas City, and he said, this is to win the Super Bowl. He goes, oh, Kansas City. Not even close. And then he brought up the fact that Travis Kelce is the best non-quarterback player in the NFL. I like Travis Kelce a lot, and I'd have to think about that for a little while, but he said what he does prior to just getting to the line of scrimmage, prior to the play starting, he's a matchup nightmare, and that allows Patrick Mahomes to do so much more. We'll bring back some of those comments from Orlovsky a little bit later on. We'll have more on the big trade as Russell Westbrook is sent to Washington and John Wall is sent to the Rockets. We always love to grade a trade. Who won now? Well, who won now and who wins 3 years from now? I'd still say Washington got Russell Westbrook. I like Russell Westbrook paired with Bradley Beal, as long as Bradley Beal is there, more than I do John Wall paired with James Harden. I don't know how long Harden's going to be there. I don't know how long Bradley Beal's going to be in Washington. But the fact that the Rockets did get a first-round draft pick, they gave up four to get Russell Westbrook Jr. the third. Now they only get one, and they get John Wall, who's coming off surgery. But we'll have more on that. Tim McMahon, the ESPN NBA reporter, will join us. Final hour, the great Bill Walton will stop by as well. Phone calls always welcome. We'll get to those. We got a poll question. Are we going to stay with that poll question second hour, McLovin?
Yeah, I sort of just put up, who do you got, the Chiefs or the field? It's 50-50 early on. That's sort of a win for Kansas City, isn't it?
Oh, I thought it would be more because it feels like there's flaws with everybody. And Kansas City's flaws don't even compare to, you know, the Colts' flaws or the Titans' flaws, Saints, Green Bay, Seattle, whoever you want to throw in there. It feels like Kansas City is a more finished product. The Steelers. And I'm not basing this off what I saw yesterday because I still love the Steelers, but now you've lost two impact defensive players. Bud Dupree's out with a torn ACL. It's a good defense. At times can be a great defense. But you're saying everything has to go right if you play Kansas City. If you're Pittsburgh, I don't want Ben thrown 50 times. I'd prefer that he didn't throw 50 times. And if I'm going to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, when he gets on the field, I want to have an idea of what he's going to do. And for the life of me, any defensive coordinator who is playing man coverage on Tyreek Hill, the last thing I want is a deep play. You know, what really breaks your spirit is when you give up that 60-yard play. If you want to dink and dunk, then I you know what? It's do I want the guillotine or do I want water torture? I'm going to take water torture with Patrick Mahomes because I've seen the guillotine. And that is quick, it's swift, and it's over. I want to make sure that I have you where you may have a 10-play drive, but I don't want to give you 15 more plays. I want to limit the number of plays you have, and I want to make sure that you have to make something happen with those plays. Can Tennessee do this again? Can they control the clock? You know, can you have Ryan Tannehill come up with a couple of big plays there? I do believe they're capable of doing that. Can I trust Phillip Rivers in a big situation? Is that offense balanced enough? The defense is good. You throw the Steelers in there. Green Bay has flaws. Seattle has flaws. The Saints might be the best team in the NFC, and I'm talking about overall talent in the NFC, but yeah, I would take Kansas City there. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. New original series, Saved by the Bell on Peacock. It's streaming now. Bayside is back with new students, new stories, some very familiar faces. Start streaming now. Lakers gave LeBron James a 2-year, $85 million contract extension. Also, what happened prior to the start of the show is Anthony Davis and the Lakers agreeing to a contract extension. It's a 5-year deal worth $190 million. LeBron is going to stay in the purple and gold through 2023. Now, it's a lot of money. I'm waiting for the critics to come out and say, oh, why'd LeBron take all that money? Shouldn't he have taken less? Michael did. Well, Michael did early in his career. And then the last 2 years, Michael was getting paid over $30 million a year. And he was making the Nike money as well. So Michael didn't have to take the money, but he did. And it's about winning championships. Tom Brady would have taken less money. He has taken less money. I know how this is going to be spun. The Lakers are the favorites going into this season. And they're going to be the favorites probably for the next couple of years, it feels like. LeBron got paid 2 years, $85 million. There are players who make more than LeBron James does. Now, you might go, boy, he's going to make $41, $42 million a year. So does John Wall. Should John Wall have taken less money? It's just going to be because this is LeBron James. Now, if LeBron James looks at that roster and says, all right, I want to get paid, it feels like he's worth more than that, then they're still going to be the team to beat. I don't begrudge you. You know, whatever your motives are, but LeBron knows at the end of the day, if he has six titles, then we have a conversation. If he doesn't get to six titles, we don't have a conversation. And by a conversation, I'm talking about somebody on the Jordan side of things engaging with you. Because right now, people on the Jordan bandwagon, they don't even engage in this. They'll go, yeah, let me know when he gets to six. Okay, that's fine. If that's your logic, I think it's like when Montana won four, didn't lose. Okay, and then Brady passed him, but he had still had more losses. Joe didn't lose a Super Bowl. Well, we just blew through that stop sign. And LeBron is sort of like Tom Brady in that standpoint because he's lost in the NBA Finals. Lost more than he's won. But I still think he deserves credit for getting there, and he rarely gets that. But, you know, this is a similar situation to Jordan with the Bulls. And just like MJ, LeBron's team salary is only part of his fortune. He's making a whole lot of money off the floor as well. On the court, he didn't have much of a drop-off at age 35. Jordan started to have a drop-off. LeBron could have been the MVP. He reinvented his game once again. He averaged over 10 assists per game. And at this point, he picks and chooses his spots on defense, capable of locking down an opponent, making a big play. But he's got a well-rounded game, and he's got a well-rounded team around him. But LeBron taking that money, I'm sure that somebody will have a problem with it. I just looked at it as, what does this mean for the team? Tom Brady wants to win Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes, did anybody say, well, should have taken less? Patrick Mahomes said he took less, but it doesn't feel like he took less for a $500 million contract. But I think that's going to be a bargain at some point. LeBron's a bargain. I mean, even at $41 or $42 million, how many players make more than LeBron James does? Or will LeBron's making $41, $42 million? That's the next 2 years, not this contract. Did anybody say, wow, LeBron, he's a bargain? When's the last time you heard that? LeBron's a bargain. You haven't. How many players will make more money than LeBron James this year? How many of those players are more valuable to their team than LeBron James? But somehow, some way, this will be spun in a negative way that LeBron was greedy. I don't know. Did Anthony Davis take less? Anthony Davis wants to win championships, right? I'm guessing he does. 5 for $190, should he have taken less? I don't know. But LeBron, he signed the two-year extension, so he's got this year, two more years after that. All right, we'll get to phone calls coming up. Yes, Paul?
And at least six NBA players, and probably more, will make more than LeBron this year. But if you look at the Lakers, a year and a half ago, they were coming off a season where they're 37-45 and had missed the playoffs for the sixth consecutive season. Look where they are a year and a half later, the overwhelming favorite to win the title, and they seem to have added more good role players in the offseason. He's totally changed the franchise.
Well, they got younger, and then everybody talked about, oh, LeBron doesn't get along with these younger players. Well, younger players, LeBron is on a time frame here. He's on a timetable. And to wait for them to be ready to play in a big moment, he wasn't ready for that. Do I think that he went about it in the wrong way? At times, yes, I do. I think he should have been more of a bigger brother to these players while they were still in the Lakers. And it felt like LeBron was, if I can pull the ripcord and get rid of these guys and make this trade for Anthony Davis, then I'm going to. And, that's eventually what happened there. But he knew what he needed to win more championships. And even in the offseason, they did, LeBron should be up there for GM of the year. because he has to get those guys to want to play. And who wouldn't want to play with LeBron if he's going to be a facilitator here? And then to say to the front office, who do we need? Who can we get? We need to get a little younger. He doesn't want rookies in there. Like, he's still waiting for Kyle Kuzma to grow up. But if you get guys who've already played 4, 5, 6 years in the league, that's what he wants. That's why he loved Rondo. Rondo knew how to play the game when the game really matters. Not during the regular season, during the postseason. And there is a difference in the player you have in the postseason. Yes, Eden.
Well, that's just so interesting about the timing of all this, especially LeBron's deal, is that, you know, a week or two ago, they reloaded and was like, oh my God, look at all of the signings they just had. This is incredible. The Lakers are going to crush everybody. If LeBron signs this deal before those deals happen, all of those look terrible.
From what perspective?
Meaning that he took all of the money and then, like, this is the best they could do.
Oh, okay.
In a way.
Okay. Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, LeBron and Anthony Davis took all the money, so the best they could do is...
Because he took so much money, we got to get Dennis Schroeder.
Instead, they reloaded, and then LeBron still ended up being, you know, the highest paid player in NBA history.
Yes, McLovin.
I did the math, and $40 million, LeBron aspires to be a billionaire, and $40 million is a small fraction of that.
Okay.
So if you're LeBron and you wouldn't get killed for it, wouldn't you forego your salary to bring in another superstar later on? Be like, I'll take $1 million, because wouldn't you buy a title for $40 million if it's only 1/400th of your salary?
Somehow, McLovin, it'd be spun that, oh, yes, that's not fair what LeBron's doing. You know, because he's only taking $1 million so they can bring in the... Somehow, some way, it'd be a negative with LeBron.
Or Tom Brady. Why doesn't Tom... Why do you think veteran players have ever done that? It seems like a pride thing where they don't want to do that.
Well, Brady did. Brady spread out his contract to help them. But see, LeBron has a say in who they're bringing in. Brady didn't have a say in who they were bringing in. He was saving them money, but he wasn't making any decisions here. Yeah, Paulie.
The NBA used to have max contracts. Now they have super max contracts. Yeah. I think every league should have one super duper max contract, and LeBron should be the first guy to get it. Where the Lakers could give him a chunk of the franchise, they could give him points down the road. I don't even know how it works, like movies. But he has done so much for that franchise already. He deserves way more than $42 million a year.
Yeah, I think we forget where the Lakers were. And the fact that LeBron went there and was going to change the culture there. And they became champions. And they're the favorites to win again this year. Yeah, Todd.
But you could be generous all you want and forego your salary and only take $1 million. But there's no guarantees with injuries or team chemistry if you try to bring in some kind of super team and other big names. And then there you are, you know, maybe bitter because you took all this less money for something you thought was going to be a guaranteed repeat, which wasn't.
When you look at the best deal in sports right now, is it LeBron, Nick Saban, Patrick Mahomes? What's the best deal in sports? Because Mahomes, as much as we looked at the bigger, you know, the overall price tag there, I think he'll be a bargain. I really do. Nick Saban's a bargain. Oh, I saw this. Speaking of Saban, LSU is the biggest underdog for a defending national champion in the last 40 years. LSU is a 29.5 point home underdog to Alabama this weekend.
Jeez.
Wow. 29.5 point underdog at home. That's the largest for a defending national champ in the last 40 years.
That's pretty disrespectful. I can't do it as good as Seton. He does a better idea.
But that didn't stop you from trying.
I still gave it a shot.
Yeah, I know you did. Yeah. Seton, could you clean up the mess? Please. The spill in aisle 6? Aaron.
I don't really know if I
can. Thank you.
All right.
That was a nice save.
All right. A couple of phone calls here. Jeff in Milwaukee leads us off. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I got a little help for you and Fritzy in the studio while the guys are out. Big week in Milwaukee, or the state of Wisconsin. Might be more of interest to Fritzy, but Giannis, Yelich, and Rogers, same week. Same state, same birthday week. Lots of MVPs.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, I mentioned that I'm stuck with Fritzy in the man cave because the Danettes are working from their homes, except for Fritzy. and we've run out of things to say. We're the old couple. Nothing is sadder than going to dinner and you look over and you see a couple and they're not talking to each other.
Together, alone, alone together.
Yeah.
As my mother-in-law would say.
Yeah. So that's what Todd and I have.
I get that with my wife all the time. If she can bear to stay in the same room. You already told me that joke. I know. I heard that. It's like, there's a lot of that.
Yes, Paulie.
Maybe we should do like a quiz and see how much Todd knows about you, because I'm sure he's going to learn a lot about your past, where you went to high school.
No, I'm not. No. It's very, very surface conversation.
But I don't ask you about your commute or anything like that.
No, because if I was a woman, then you would.
Yes. If you were an attractive woman, I'd ask all kinds of annoying questions. Yes. To keep you close.
Kevin in North Carolina. Hi, Kevin. What's on your mind today?
All right, so yesterday we had Robert Griffin III throwing passes to Dez Bryant at 3:40 on a Wednesday afternoon. I think it's safe to say summer 2020 is peaking. But I have to disagree with you on the game being played, and here's why. Once they made the decision that Denver had to play, weren't their hands tied? I mean, they would have had a harder time explaining why they gave a pass to Baltimore and made Denver play. I mean, that's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I understand it, but it feels like it's week to week. I still don't understand the Patriots situation. You know, if you Cam test positive, then let's move it to Sunday. It feels like they're changing the definition or changing the rules as we go along week to week. And maybe they have to. But when the Ravens are in Pittsburgh, having flown in, and they have to test before the game, they're already depleted, and we don't even know, like, if they had X number of positive tests, would they have still been able to play the game? I just looked at it, the competitive balance of this. Now, you can put blame. I'll put blame on the Broncos, blame on the Raiders, blame on the Titans. But at what point do you say we've reached our breaking point and we're going to have to cancel this game? I don't know if you're going to have a scenario like that. I really don't. Tom in Los Angeles. Hey, Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, I originally wanted to ask about if you had seen the comments that Paul George made, that he was trying to, I think, blunt the blistering expose that came out in The Athletic about him and Kawhi.
Yeah.
But also, I wanted to give a shout-out to Fritzy's conversational skills, because while I was on hold, I accidentally somehow, there was a glitch, and I somehow overheard him talking to Dan Orlovsky about pats of butter, and it sounded so, so delicious. And I was just like, I can't remember the last time I ever thought about pats of butter, but I swear to God, next time I go out to a restaurant, throwing pats of butter, I am using that.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom. I didn't know we had the glitch where you could eavesdrop on us, which is scary. But Todd, would you like to recap your butter conversation with Dan Orlovsky?
I think we were just kind of chatting. How was your Thanksgiving? And one thing led to another. And it ended up saying, like, you know, I like when you have the frozen butter or really cold butter hitting a nice, soft, warm roll, like at an Italian restaurant or at a steakhouse. And he was all in on that. And we just ended up bonding over cold butter and warm rolls.
Yeah, Paulie.
Actually, Orlovsky at first didn't agree with you, Todd, because the cold butter that they often serve at nice places, it's tough to spread on the roll, and sometimes you get a ripping motion on the bread. You have to let it sit there for a while until you can spread it out, which is, makes you wait for the bread and butter to get in you.
That is true. You got to be patient with it, because if you can get
we're good.
No, but if you can get through the butter,
we're good.
Square butter, and then within another 30 seconds.
No, we're good, Todd. We're good.
It's really good.
We're good.
You get the cold.
We're good. No. Yes, Andy.
See, I hear all these conversations, and everyone's really nice to Todd because they're being nice to you. Like, it's out of respect to you. I mean, Dan, clearly, nobody wants frozen butter on a roll.
No.
Dan was just being nice because the interview was coming on, and Todd thinks that's a genuine relationship.
I get tricked every time.
Yeah, like you really, you know, you got a rapport there with Dan Orlovsky.
I think he wants, like, maybe we'll, like, go out to eat sometime.
Remember that time we were talking about butter? God, it was so great. That was such a great conversation. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll dive into the Russell Westbrook, John Wall deal. Should LeBron have taken less? Is he a bargain here? We'll talk to Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter, who had a lot of details on the Wall deal to the Rockets, plus a first-round pick. And Russell Westbrook Jr. III heads to the Wizards. All of that coming up. More phone calls as well. Take a break, 21 after the hour, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. SimpliSafe Home Security. Take me up on this because it's a bargain. It's 40% off any SimpliSafe system, and they throw in a free security camera. Recently, U.S. News & World Report called it the best home security of 2020. I've told you about it for years. CNET Editor's Choice for Home Security, named Best of 2020 by Forbes magazine, Popular Mechanics as well. The system has an arsenal of sensors. It has whatever you want to protect your home or your office. Cameras, you set it up, by the way. You order it. It comes to your doorstep. You set it up in less than an hour. Don't need an electrician. SimpliSafe security specialists will take over from there. They monitor your home around the clock, and they're ready to send emergency help the moment there is an alarm. Gets 40% off SimpliSafe plus free security cameras today. A free security camera today by visiting SimpliSafeDan.com. The deal expires on Friday. SimpliSafeDan.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz Vans go far beyond. From their customization options and cutting-edge tech to their five-star sales service and financial support. Can't say enough about the great products with Mercedes-Benz. And the vans are built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. You can go the extra mile, taking the all-important step into an authorized dealership today. Spent a little time in the last hour talking about, we love to give a grade after a trade, like who got the better end of the deal with the Rockets and the Wizards. I don't want John Wall at any price. Russell Westbrook feels like you could have him play with Bradley Beal. And I'm interested to see James Harden and John Wall play together. Tim McMahon does this for a living. He's the ESPN NBA reporter. Let me start with give it a winner and a loser here, Tim. Who got the better end of this deal?
I mean, let's be realistic. This is a mutual sell low trade of max salaries. John Wall hasn't played in 2 years. The reports coming out of his workouts, the pickup games he's played, is that he looks good. But 2 years off, coming back from a torn Achilles with 3 years left of a max salary, is not exactly a desirable formula. The Rockets were able to get the protected first round pick. They felt like they needed that asset if they were going to trade Russell Westbrook. But it's hard to say that that the Rockets are winners when they just traded the guy who, for all his flaws, was a third-team All-NBA selection. And, last offseason, they gave up Chris Paul, 2 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps. So, that's not – it's the Rockets really making the best out of a situation that went bad.
Why couldn't they keep Russell Westbrook?
It just got to the point where Russell Westbrook did not want to be in Houston. For as long as he had a friendship with James Harden, as much as they mutually pushed to play together, Russell Westbrook was not happy in Houston. He made it clear to the Rockets that he wanted to, quote, play my game. and we'll see how that works in Washington with Bradley Beal. But, everybody remembers his rough performance in the bubble. He's coming off of coronavirus. He obviously strained his quad. He was a shell of himself in the bubble. People forget that for the 2.5 months before the season was halted, this guy was averaging 32-8-8 and playing the most efficient basketball of his career. And I say people, apparently Russell Westbrook is one of the people that forgot that, but he did not want to stay in Houston.
Yeah, I misspoke last hour. I said that he had performed well in the bubble. He didn't perform, and he had COVID, but prior to the bubble, he performed extremely well. But also, it feels like Russ with Bradley Beal makes a whole lot more sense than Russ with James Harden.
Yeah, obviously Bradley Beal is much more capable and much better suited to play off the ball. It is, and look, it's still, Russ needs to go to Washington understanding that it is Bradley Beal's team, and that the biggest priority for the Wizards is ensuring that Bradley Beal wants to stay in Washington for a long, long time. But I think it is more of a 1A, 1B situation than it was in Houston, where James Harden is not an off-ball player. At some point, especially if he gets his wish and ends up moving to another destination, you know, playing in Brooklyn, if that's the case, he's going to have to adapt and play off the ball more. But he is arguably the best isolation player in the world, and that's what the Rockets' offense has revolved around, certainly in recent years. And as long as Harden's there, it's going to be difficult to make drastic changes there.
I maintain, if I'm the Rockets, I don't acquiesce to James Harden. I just say, look, you wanted this. You wanted Chris Paul out. You wanted Russell Westbrook in. We created all of this for you, and now you want out. Like last man out, turn out the lights. Unless I get another team involved in this, Tim, and I don't know if that team, like, is Golden State really in this, or is there another team aside from Brooklyn interested in James Harden?
Look, the team that you're going to hear the most about is the Philadelphia 76ers. Obviously, Daryl Morey is a huge fan of James Harden. You can argue that the James Harden trade really kind of made Daryl Morey's career, and Daryl will be the first one to say that. But the Rockets have been very clear. They are not going to move James Harden at 70 cents on the dollar. They do not feel any urgency to move James Harden. Rather, they would try to repair that. They want to try to repair that relationship. Time is on their side. He has two guaranteed years left on that deal. What the Rockets insist they would have to have in any potential trade for Harden would be a young franchise cornerstone and a massive haul of draft picks, a Drew Holiday type haul.
Well, that's what I wondered, though, Tim. What Milwaukee gave up to get Drew Holiday? If I'm the Rockets, I'm going, we're going to give you maybe the best scorer in NBA history and still has years on you know, his legs. I don't know what you can give up. Like, if I'm the 76ers, and if I said to you, I'm going to give you Joel Embiid and maybe an expiring contract or something, like, what would it take for the 76ers to actually get James Harden, where the Rockets would feel like, hey, we did okay in this deal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the conversation would have to start with either Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and then we're talking about picks upon picks upon picks. And really, look, the Drew Holiday trade, that's three picks and two, pick swap rights. I think that if you're the Rockets, you have to kind of dig your heels in, and all this stuff can change. But for now, the Rockets can afford to be patient. And again, they can afford to prioritize trying to kind of get Harden back on board. He apparently is excited about, or not, I don't know, excited, on board with the idea of playing with John Wall.
Oh, God.
Here's the deal. If the Rockets don't win, that pressure really picks up for them to trade Harden. And I think the leverage is on the Rockets' side until the trade deadline passes. And then he's going in the last year of his contract, and the leverage really shifts. But they've got time on their side at this moment and for the next few months.
He's Tim McMahon. He covers the NBA insider reporter for ESPN. Explain to me what Paul George is doing. He threw Doc under the bus and then backed up and then ran him over again here. I doubt if Paul George would be saying this if Doc was still the head coach, but it feels like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are trying to clean up their resumes a little bit here.
Paul George is looking for somebody to blame. I mean, that's pretty clear. Paul George is making excuses, and, you know, excuses don't necessarily have to be based in reality. Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, when Paul George is complaining, you're using me like Ray Allen, you're using me like J.J. Redick, the facts don't support that. Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer tweeted, Paul George last year had the highest percentage of pick-and-roll usage in his career by far. So again, you know, he's making excuses. That's just the simplest way to put it, for what was an extremely disappointing season and frankly, an embarrassing postseason for him.
Is he like, he wanted to go to Los Angeles, but is he equipped to be in Los Angeles?
There's a little bit, even with the Clippers, there's a little bit different pressure when you are playing in LA than when you're the man in Indiana or when you're in Oklahoma City.
Oh, I know. Imagine if he was with the Lakers.
Exactly. But Paul George has said, honestly, a lot of very strange things over the last few months. I thought him taking shots at Dame Lillard, the guy who, you know, swished a 37 footer in his face and waved bye bye and basically said your time in Oklahoma City's over. to take shots at him was you know pick your sparring partners a little bit better. I would advise. And then after they're eliminated, you know, he's this was never a championship buster season for us. Well, boy, it sure seems like the owner felt differently because it ended Doc Rivers' tenure there. But again, that's just a case of you join forces with Kawhi, you're going to the Clippers, you're being talked about as a championship favorite, and then after the fact, you're trying to revise history and say, hey, this isn't a big deal, this isn't a disappointment. Well, yeah, it was, and Paul George probably enters this season with maybe as much to prove as any established star in the NBA.
Let's look at the supporting cast for the Lakers prior to the start of this last season and the supporting cast prior to the start of this season. How would you compare the two?
I think that Dennis Schroeder is an upgrade in the sense that they now have a guy who is can get his own offense, can create his own offense, you know, can really do some major damage off the dribble. I think the pick and roll with him and Montrezl Harrell has a lot of potential. You know, you looked at what Montrezl Harrell was able to do with Lou Williams with the Clippers. I think there's going to be a lot of carryover there. With Dennis Schroeder, you know, moving Danny Green and being able to replace him with Wes Matthews at a much lower salary, I thought was a significant win for the Lakers. But, you know, look, I'll say this. When you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis playing in L.A. for the most glamorous franchise in the league, I give credit to Rob Pelinka for the moves that he's been able to make, but there's a pretty significant advantage in terms of being able to recruit with exceptions and being able to recruit with minimum salaries when you have two stars with that franchise.
Should LeBron have taken less money?
Why?
I know. I'm the biggest LeBron fan. I defend him at every turn. It feels like if there's a way to turn a story, twist a story, and make it negative about LeBron, we do that. And I think we do that with LeBron more than any other athlete, modern day athlete. I think he's a bargain. At that price. But
well, you know,
I'm just waiting for the negative spin of LeBron was greedy, makes all this money off the floor. Why not take less money? And then you ensure you win more titles. You win more titles. Now you can be on par or above Michael Jordan.
Okay. The Lakers are the defending champion. They're the favorites going in. They have an established perennial All-NBA co-star for him in Anthony Davis, who's locked up long-term. I just talked about all the recruiting advantages that the Lakers have. Rob Pelinka's proven that he's able to not only put together a championship-caliber supporting cast, but be flexible in upgrading that on a year-to-year basis. LeBron James, without question, and there's no argument against it, has everything in place to be able to win a championship with
but
the Lakers.
Why is he polarizing, Tim?
You know, I think that...
I mean, is to go back to the decision, the fact that he left to win championships? Like, what is it? I don't understand it.
Look, LeBron is polarizing because he's an historically great player who's been in the spotlight, in the international spotlight, since he's been 16 or 17 years old.
But who else is like that? Jordan wasn't polarizing. Patrick Mahomes isn't.
I think the NFL and NBA are a little bit different beasts. Okay. Jordan obviously played in a completely different era.
But would he be polarizing now? If Jordan played now, would he be polarizing?
I'm absolutely sure that he would be. Now, how much can you really criticize a guy who's winning championships every single year? Look, would we have found something to criticize? Would we have found things to nitpick? Absolutely. And for LeBron, I think part of the reason he's polarizing is there's the whole LeBron versus Jordan argument. Obviously, you know, the fact that he is a historically great star who is, you know, taking advantage of his leverage and move teams repeatedly, that plays into it. For a while, and I think the championship in L.A. Eased this, but it was LeBron versus Kobe, even among Lakers fans. So it's always going to be something. And look, part of the reason he's polarizing is because we need to have conversations like this to fill air. Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
And Twitter and everything else.
I wonder, I mean, Jordan with social media, I just think I'm curious how he would handle that.
Yeah, and you know.
And plus, he wasn't on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16. LeBron was the chosen one. Like Bryce Harper. We're waiting for Bryce Harper to be great. And he'll never live up to what he's probably supposed to be. LeBron has lived up to what the hype was. And the hype was immeasurable.
Right, and that's what's crazy about LeBron. He has lived up to impossibly high standards. The hype was this guy is going to be one of the all-time great players in NBA history, and he's exceeded those expectations. And really the biggest PR misstep in his life is that people didn't like the way that he decided to take advantage of his rights as a free agent to leave Cleveland for Miami. The decision, if that's the biggest PR misstep of a guy who's been in hot international spotlight for 20 years, that ain't bad, especially when, you know, he more than made up to it to Cavaliers fans and the people of Cleveland, the people of Ohio, by going back and essentially gifting that city its first major championship in over a half a century.
Tim, great to connect with you. We appreciate your time. Great work. And thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you having me.
That's Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter. Yeah, I know. I always go back to LeBron and defending LeBron, and LeBron's a big boy. And then I always hear from everybody like, why are you defending him? And I was there front and center with Michael Jordan. Nobody had a better seat during all those titles than I did. And I recognize Michael's greatness. I just think there's part of us that doesn't want LeBron ruining our memories. Like, he's going to invade our memories. We have this impression of Michael that we saw it. And if you were younger, and no matter what it is, you hold on to whatever you saw when you were younger. You hold on for dear life because it meant more to you. And here's LeBron, and he wants to interrupt what, you know, Michael Jordan meant to us. And he's going to interrupt what Michael Jordan meant to us, like it or not. And I think he'll go down as the most talented player, the most decorated player to ever play the game. Now, if you said we got a game to win, I want Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm not stupid or naive about this, but I just think you're seeing something that is so unique. If you said, like, Michael at 35 was spent, right? LeBron led the league in assist, won a title in the bubble. We'll take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Christmas gift, danpatrick.com. Got the calendar in there. We got T-shirts. We got hoodies, flannels, hats, all great stuff at great prices. Go to danpatrick.com. Couple other items. Coastal Carolina is going to face BYU this Saturday. Coastal Carolina was going to play Liberty. That game got postponed, canceled. And now Coastal Carolina is 14. BYU hasn't played in a couple of weeks. They're number 8, and they're trying to move up number 8 in the rankings, but not the College Football Playoff Selection Committee rankings. But BYU was looking for an opponent. It was probably 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, where I said, you'll see a scenario where BYU may reach out to Texas A&M, you know, late in the season to try to improve their resume. And BYU, we thought, was going to play Washington, and now they're going to play Coastal Carolina to get a quality win, if that were the case. And for Coastal Carolina, taking a chance as well facing BYU. But I like it. Got to be aggressive. And if nobody's going to notice you, you got to somehow make some noise that they do notice you. Yeah, Paul.
It's a College Game Day for ESPN is going down to Coastal Carolina. They're going to do the pregame show, and then the game will kick off against BYU 5:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPNU. Game of the year, 5:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPNU.
Well, they'll take it. You know, you just want to get on any network. You want to have somebody be able to see you. And here's BYU just saying, hey, we're undefeated. We got a Heisman Trophy candidate at the quarterbacking position. Will somebody take us seriously? J.J. Watt tweeted out yesterday, the lack of holding calls this year has been purely comical, just so blatant. Does J.J. forget last year when Tom Brady tweeted out how comical it was, all the holding calls? It feels like they're letting him play a little bit more, but J.J. saying that, and he had to be watching his brother you know, who plays for the Steelers. And probably that's the reason why. I don't know if JJ has tweeted this out in any other game that he might be watching, but he was watching his brother yesterday and felt that there were some holding calls that weren't called. Yes, McLovin.
They had another tough roughing the passer call that everybody was killing, where the guy just sort of landed on him in the course of play and they threw a flag.
Yeah, there are times, you know, where you're going, wait, what did they see? You know, did they see something that I didn't see? And then you start looking at all the replays and you go, all right, that seems obvious. And then something's not called or something is called, the placement of the ball, you know, the delay of game penalty at the end of the first half yesterday that wasn't called. And you're just going, all right, I don't know what you're watching, but it feels like we're watching a different game at times. Jane in Indiana joins us on the program. Good morning, Jane. What is on your mind?
Good morning. 5,650. Thank you for that. And I just wanted to say thanks for defending LeBron. I think a lot of it is his stand on political issues. Jordan didn't do that, and LeBron does, and I think that may play a little part of it. And by the way, I grew up in Lima watching the Flyers.
Oh, okay. I always had a problem with the Thomas Crown affair with Pierce Brosnan, and they called it Lima, Ohio, in the movie. And I went, how does that get by the writers or the producer? Lima, not Lima. I don't know. For some reason, that it didn't ruin the movie because Rene Russo is in the movie, and it's hard for a movie to be bad with Rene Russo in it. Love Rene Russo. Get Shorty, Rene Russo, spectacular. Yes, Eden.
So it's Lima, Peru, but Lima, Ohio.
Lima, Ohio. And I think LeBron is polarizing before any political stances. I think that he's been very active, socially active here in the last couple of years. But prior to that, he's always been. I had somebody who was at his first game, and I think this was a preseason game. It might have been against Sacramento. And I remember talking to an NBA scout because I said, hey, what did you think? And he goes, he wasn't even the best player on the floor. I went, really? really? Yeah. Wasn't even the best player on the floor. And I go, golly, he's not going to live up to the hype there. And that NBA scout is still an NBA scout, and I still joke with him. I say, hey, occasionally I'll text him and go, hey, how's LeBron looking tonight? And LeBron could have like a triple-double or something. And he'll go, not even the best player on the floor. LOL. Yeah, Paulie.
that guy at least maybe has a little bit of a point now that Anthony Davis is on the team. That scout could say it, maybe.
Yeah. All right, more phone calls coming up. Next hour, Bill Walton is going to join us, Unplugged. I'm listening to some of the dialogue, and it feels like it's a conversation that Bill is having, and then a basketball game breaks out. It's not a basketball game and then Bill has a conversation. It's Bill has a conversation and there's a basketball game going on. Yes, Todd.
I reminded him about what time he's coming on and he responded, thank you for my life. He's the best.
Yeah, he is. Entertaining. All right, 2 hours in the books, one more to go on this Thursday, Dan and the Dan and Stan Patrick Show. One more item in the second hour, and it's LifeLock. Holidays are approaching. You're ordering things online. It's amazing the information you give out. No online e-tailer needs your social security number or your date of birth. Just as a heads up here from the folks at LifeLock. LifeLock is there's nobody else even close to them when it comes to understanding what identity threats can do to you, your social security number for sale on the dark web. It's important to understand cybercrime and identity theft and how it affects your life. This holiday season, you could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit or bank statements, but get LifeLock, the leader in identity theft protection. They detect your information's being used in their network. They'll send you an alert. They'll help you fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock does help you feel warm and fuzzy, protected during the holiday season. Save up to 25% on your first year. Go to LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Patrick. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com. Promo code Patrick.